Good morning and welcome again to Rockville Christian Church and happy Thanksgiving. How many of you guys had plenty of good food on Thanksgiving Day? Plenty of us. I mean, there's lots of good food to go around. Anna made a whole spread for us while we were quarantined and we had a great Thanksgiving. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed the food quite a bit, probably too much. In fact, I've got some signs for you that you may have eaten too much at Thanksgiving. The doctor tells you that your weight is perfect if you just happen to be a man that was 17 feet tall. You are responsible for a slight but measurable shift in the Earth's axis. The paramedics had to come in and use the jaws of life to pry you out of that easy boy chair. The potatoes you used in that potato salad or that mashed potatoes set off another famine in Ireland. You pricked your finger for cholesterol testing, and the screening yielded only gravy. Representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame called twice. How many of you guys ate way too much food on Thanksgiving? I did, and I've probably been eating way too much food ever since. We have leftovers for at least 2 weeks here, I think. So we'll be enjoying that, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy that too. Well, today I'm going to be talking a little bit about Thanksgiving and what it means to be thankful in 2020 of all years. So to start here, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. This is Paul in his closing comments to the church in Thessalonica. And this is a new church here. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'll read that again. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I structured this sermon around several questions when I planned it. It just helps me organize my thoughts. And so this first section I structured into the question of what situation was Paul writing into? Because usually digging into that, especially with the letters, that brings a lot more insight into what Paul is trying to tell us, because he was trying to tell something very specific to that very specific church in Thessalonica. So in the first few years of this church's conception, they had eagerly and disappointedly waited on the second arrival of Christ. Paul also documents some of their sufferings. He says earlier in this letter, "You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering. You suffered from your own people, the same things those churches from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. And we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind." So they had seen persecution, and they probably lost a few of their own to those of the to the cruelty of those that would see Christians gone. Their hope may have been fading, and their actions probably showed it based on what Paul was writing to them. So when Paul said to be thankful, they probably thought, "For what, Paul? You just listed off the reasons that we have to not be thankful. And now you're trying to tell us to put on a happy face and say thank you? How about no thank you?" But Paul was serious. In all circumstances, be thankful. Waiting in line at the grocery store, or in their case, the agora, the marketplace. Be thankful. When your friend was just put on a cross for refusing to back down about Jesus and his faith. Be thankful. When your friend's former persecutor was just baptized into the church. Be thankful. Can you imagine how hard some of those situations would be? Some of those situations that those people had faced. It would be difficult to be thankful in those situations. So why be thankful? We get that Paul says be thankful, and if we were to look at that second half of the verse, we could easily say just because God said so, be thankful. But what about saying because God said so would help those first and second century Christians who had no experience with Christianity like we do? How would "because God said so" help them? And furthermore, how would it help those that weren't Christians, that didn't know what Christianity was about? How would that help them understand the point of being thankful? It's hard to say, but there's more to it than that. It's not just because God said so, because that verse also says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That means we have to go back and look at the life of Christ to see what he did in order for us to figure out why this is God's will for us. So going back to a couple of different stories in Jesus' life, there's two different scenarios. The first, I'll introduce you to Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. These guys are siblings, they're all related, and they're all good friends of Jesus. They had spent quite a bit of time together, and at one point, Jesus is off traveling with his disciples, and he gets word that Lazarus is dying. His good friend was sick and probably wasn't going to make it. Jesus knew what was going to happen, but they waited around a couple more days where they were before they started traveling to go see Lazarus. And by the time they got there, Lazarus had already died. People were in mourning. Mary and Martha were not happy. They were the exact opposite of happy. They were sad. They were probably confused. They may have been even a little bit upset about Jesus. So what I want to do is I'll read you here from John chapter 11, verse 32 and on. John records this. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had also come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. "Where have you laid him?" Jesus asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Moving on a little bit further. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus said, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Now, if you're reading through the book of John and you read quickly, like most people do through passages, you may have missed that. We have Jesus here who just lost a good friend of his, and he was sad. He was morose. He wept bitterly, and everybody else could see exactly how much he loved him. And that's a terrible situation to be in, to have lost somebody. And if you felt that, you may have felt a little bit more what Jesus was feeling like here. But Jesus had been in deep mourning, and in the next moment, we see him giving thanks. He fully felt the pain of losing a friend, and he could be thankful for the relationship that he had with his father, for the hope that his friend would be brought back, and for others having the opportunity to see Jesus work and to know that he truly was who he said he was. It wasn't an either-or thing. It wasn't you can either feel sad and be in pain or you can be thankful. It's a both-and. Jesus was in pain. He was terribly sad about all of this, and yet he could still give thanks. And that's one of the most difficult situations to be thankful in. While you're in pain, when you're in the sadness of having lost a loved one. Both cases, though, where Jesus is sad and where Jesus is thankful, show love for those around him. Because Lazarus raised meant those around him could believe and have a saving relationship with him. In verse 45, John reads, "Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did and believed in him." For the second highlight in Jesus' life, let's come around the dining table where Jesus held his famous Last Supper with his disciples. During this Passover feast, Jesus seemed to be acting strange, which is completely understandable given the fact that he knew what was coming. He knew what all was going to happen with the crucifixion, the betrayal of not only Judas, but his disciples deserting him, the flogging, the mockery, the humiliation, and then finally being raised up on a cross and having to endure that. So it's fair to say that Jesus was pretty anxious. And in fact, Luke records later on when he's in the garden that he is so anxious that he incurs a medical condition that actually made him sweat blood. I don't know about you guys, but I have never been that anxious. But Jesus knows what's coming, and he is that anxious. So Jesus, in the middle of this, breaks the bread and gives the cup. Luke records this in chapter 22, verses 17 and 19. He says, "After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And again, if you're reading quick, you probably skip over that give thanks part. But knowing full well that breaking the bread meant the breaking of his body, and that the pouring out of the cup meant the pouring out of his blood, he gave thanks. And Jesus saw the larger picture. He knew that in doing so, he'd be showing others how to live and die in love. The suffering that he would take on was nothing in comparison to the gains it would bring for his kingdom and those whom he loved. It was worth it. He had hope for a better future and was thankful that he was part of making it happen. So Jesus was thankful in both pain and anxiety, and two of the hardest times to be thankful. So to summarize, why be thankful? Jesus leads us by example to appreciate and be grateful for the good things in life in all circumstances. Not just because God said so, but because Jesus did so. So we can be thankful. The second part of this, I wanted to bring it closer to us and move out of the text and bring it here and home. And so what are we thankful for? First part, I asked myself, what am I thankful for? Well, this year has been a good year for me in the midst of 2020 because I got married to my wife, now Anna Sharon, and I am thankful for that. I'm also thankful for having made new friends while I was in quarantine and getting to know people. I'm thankful for support from the church, the opportunity to see so many people demonstrate the love of God to not just the people in the church, but to the community. I'm thankful for being able to be close to family here in Indiana and also having the ability to reach out to those that I'm not physically close with and still have a relationship with them. I've also been able to get connected with other youth ministers in the area and in the west side of Indiana, and that I've been thankful for that. That's helped me grow in my faith and my ministry as well, and I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. So what are others thankful for? What are you thankful for? Go ahead and take a moment, and I want you to ask yourself, what are you thankful for? And if you're a note taker, write this down. Write down what you're thankful for. Later, if you ask somebody else, ask them what they're thankful for. Write that down. If you're watching online, type it out in the comments. Let other people know what you're thankful for. I've got this list I asked on Facebook earlier this week. I asked, what are you thankful for in the midst of 2020? And by and large, the response was faith and family. And those two are hugely important. It also didn't shock me because of their importance, and the circles that I run in are mostly church people and people from my college, which is a Bible-based college. But I can imagine that's even more so this year than others. And some people said as much. You know, having the peace that comes with knowing that the one you served loved you enough to die on a cross. I mean, to go through something way worse than what we're going through right now. And having family to support you in this time of quarantine, to have those connections and relationships, is amazing as well. So that extra time to spend with family, and even the extra time to spend on faith, because for some people, being forced to be quarantined, being forced to maybe slow down and take a look at your faith and maybe read the Bible more, may have been the lifeline that kept their faith from falling off the map completely. A lot of people were thankful for health. A lot of people were thankful for the jobs that they did have, but there were also some that being laid off gave them a cause for thanks because they were in a toxic working relationship. They were thankful for that. So a lot of people were thankful for extra time to spend on house or hobbies. The businesses that could stay open in the midst of a pandemic, I know that's been hard on some people. Some people have been thankful because 2020 and being in the COVID season has helped them ease into retirement. It's also provided the time to find not just any job, but the right job. 2020 has also made some adoption processes a little bit easier, and so some people have had a shorter process to adopt a child while somebody else had lowered fees to adopt a small cat. Some people actually avoided hurricanes because of work displacement. And then there are small things like gooseberry pie or wrestling and sunshine, fall colors, Christmas lights, all the little things that you can easily pass by and not take the time to appreciate. My favorite comment on that thread was actually from an old guitar teacher of mine. He said, "Thankfulness is a condition of the heart, not a response to stimulus." Thankfulness is a condition of the heart, not a response to stimulus. And I like the way that he said that. Because if thankfulness was just a response to stimulus, then people would rarely be thankful. If you look at news, if you look at social media, whatever news outlet you have, more times often than not, the news that you see is not positive. It's mostly negative. It's something to get down about. It's something that might even make you complain or get angry. And it's far too easy to slip into those emotions. It's far too easy to stay in those emotions. And there are far too few positive news that we get, that we see, that we hear, for us to only dwell on that in the moment. So there's got to be something more here. In Paul's closing thoughts to the church in Philippi, he says, this is chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So do you think about those things regularly? Are you a thankful person? Is that something that you can claim as part of a personality, or do you maybe need to work towards that? If the answer was, "Yes, I'm a thankful person," fantastic, that's great. If the answer is no, maybe I do need to be more thankful, then how do we become more thankful? Ask yourself, how can I do that? And even if you are a thankful person, we can always be more thankful. So how do we be more thankful? I like to think of being like a spiritually healthy person, like being a physically fit person. And being a thankful person is like losing weight. In becoming fit or maintaining fitness, there is no one thing that makes it happen, right? There are many small things that need to happen in order for you to be fit. Training the brain is part of it. Training your body is another part. Lots of different and various workouts. Lots of cardio. Also eating not only the right foods, but getting rid of the wrong foods. And on and on and on. And yes, the fact that I'm preaching and using an example about food and fitness right after Thanksgiving is not lost on me. I need to preach that to myself a little bit more too. Losing weight isn't all there is to fitness, but in my opinion, it's probably the simplest thing. Maybe not the easiest, but it is simple. Because losing weight, all it takes is for you to expend more calories than you take in, to use up more energy than you eat. That's all it takes to lose weight. And now there may be other things that make that harder or more that goes into it for that. But, I mean, for me, that's pretty simple. So how is being a thankful person and becoming a more thankful person like losing weight? Well, you become a more thankful person by recognizing and acknowledging the good things, and more so than you do recognize and bemoan the bad things. And you can do this in two ways. The first is increasing the number of good things that you acknowledge and recognize. Now, that's a two-part thing. The first thing is you have to recognize it. You have to recognize when there are good things happening. You might have to look and find the good things. You might have to ask a friend. because they have a different perspective on things. You ask yourself, what am I thankful for? You might be able to give a list. You ask a friend, what should I be thankful for? And they might be able to point out other things in your life that are good. So I recommend asking somebody else as well. But once you recognize it, you have to acknowledge it by saying it out loud. And this is more for other people's benefit than it is for yours. And I'm going to show you how to do that and why that is by doing a quick experiment. How many of you right now are thinking of a pink elephant? Raise your hand. No, really. Raise your hand if you're thinking of a pink elephant. Let me see. Are you thinking of a pink elephant? Okay, we got more than a few people thinking of a pink elephant. Why are you thinking about a pink elephant? We're in the middle of a sermon here. It's because it's right there up on the screen. Yep. You can see it, right? I brought it to your attention. I put it in the slide earlier. It popped up. There's a pink elephant on the screen. You're now thinking of a pink elephant. I'm talking about a pink elephant. You're thinking about a pink elephant, right? And that's just like the good things when we acknowledge it. When we start talking about the good things in life, other people see that. When you're thankful and you tell that to somebody, other people see that you're thankful. And not only you being thankful, that in itself is a good thing, but they recognize the thing that you're thankful for. And so they may think, oh, should I be thankful for that? Or what else can I be thankful for? And it spreads. Because you're thankful, people across the world could be thankful because of the chain reaction that that could have. Now, the second part of becoming more thankful, I'm going to introduce by the other half of this experiment. How many of you today, from the point I started the sermon to this point right now, have thought about the negative repercussions of the Cold War with Russia? Raise your hand. Anybody? Really? I didn't think so. We don't really think about that because, one, it's not relevant right now, and two, I didn't bring it to your attention. I didn't put a slide up there. We didn't talk about how it scared a bunch of people and how a bunch of people spent probably unnecessary money on bunkers for their backyard, and that may have bankrupted some people because of that fear that it spread. But there's a time and a place to talk about that, right? It's not here during the sermon. If you were on a committee to maybe help right the wrongs that that caused, then yeah, that would be a good time to talk about it. There's a time and a place. But I think too often we seek out the negative things unnecessarily. And then we talk to other people about it, and it gets into us, and we can't let it go. So one would be to stop looking out for all the negative things unnecessarily. That's the other half of it. Because when you don't talk about it, other people are less likely to talk about it. And you're more likely to become a more thankful overall person that way. So there's one more challenge that I want to give you guys here. It's a bonus challenge, and it's this. We need to get beyond thanking God for the weather in our prayers, because it's far too easy to just start a prayer out and say, Lord, I thank you for the day, I thank you for the weather, now please give me all the things that I need and help all the people that need help, and here's all the things wrong in the world, and here's what needs fixing, and so on and so on and so on, right? If you look at the anatomy of your prayer, I think far too often we have this much be thanks and this much be here's what I need, God. Here's what I think you should do in order to make the world a better place. When in reality, we need to recognize thankfulness way much more than we do. We need to get beyond the trivial things. Like, yeah, the weather's great. I'm going to thank God for the sunshine just as I'm going to thank him for the rain, even if it doesn't benefit me, right? That's all good stuff, but the sun shines on the good, sun shines on the bad, rain pours on the good, rain pours on the bad. We need to get to a point where we can thank God uniquely for the things that are happening in our life and be genuine with it. Just like those people who are genuinely thankful for things that happened in 2020 because of some of the other things that happened, because they had to quarantine, because they had to slow down and look at their faith, because they lost their job and had to move somewhere else. They were genuinely thankful for those things, and they had to stop and think about it. Okay, So that pretty much covers it for that. My last challenge is not really related to being a thankful person, but it's really rather just being the reason other people are thankful. This holiday season, I want you to go out and be Jesus to those around you, to show his love and give other people reasons to be thankful. You know, there are many children that will be thankful to those of you that helped out with Operation Christmas Child. If you helped out with that, that's great. I know how much work goes into that. Rana did a fantastic job with it this year, and the numbers there really do sound like a good year for COVID. There was also that blessing basket drive that you all helped with. And at the very end there, you guys went above and beyond my expectations. And around 25 to 30 families were able to have meals on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving meals because of your generosity. And they're thankful for that. I'm thankful for you guys to pitch in. And as a thank you, we got Hayden Holcomb to pie Greg in the face during class. That video will go online with your permission, and we will show you guys. Greg says no. I'll show it to you. You come to me personally. All right. So I'm going to close here by reading the end of Paul's first letter to Thessalonica and leading us in a prayer of thankfulness. So if you want to read along here, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians verses 12 through 28. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, but encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And Lord, we are so thankful for 2020. Amidst all the terrible things that we could think about, we thank you for being able to spend more time with family, to be able to spend more time with you, to be able to recognize the priorities in life. We thank you for just being able to be here this morning, to be part of your church, not the building, not the time slot, but the community of Christians who are called to serve you. We thank you for the times that are coming ahead to a fantastic winter season with all the holidays and festivities and with all the fun times that we're looking forward to. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.